Hello and welcome back to Open Crypto. So there is something very specific we need to talk about, and that is the Davos agenda and how that wraps into the World Economic Forum and how that wraps into the Great Reset and what is going on geopolitically right now and geoeconomically, I should say. So how are they affecting the world and what's their platform? Obviously, they're a group under the World Economic Forum and they're kind of pushing this agenda and they're pushing it wide open. So let's kind of dive real deep into what they want and is this actually happening right now? Is this having an effect on politics right now? This group is having an effect on politics. So let's jump straight into it here. The first thing on the website kind of shows us is, well, the Davos agenda and then how it's kind of, you know, going on right now. What's their agenda? What's going on? All right. So the world economic, sickness has demonstrated that no institution or individual alone can address the economic, environmental, and social technological challenges of our complex interdependent world. The sickness has accelerated the system changes that were apparent before its inception. The fault lines that emerged in 2020 now appear as a critical crossroads in 2021. The time to rebuild trust and to make crucial choices is fast approaching as the need to reset priorities and the urgency to reform systems grow stronger around the world. So we need to reset our priorities is what they're saying. We can learn more, but we're going to keep going down. The Davos agenda is a pioneering mobilization of global leaders to shape the principles, policies, and partnerships needed in this challenging new context. It is essential for leaders from all walks of life to work together virtually for a more inclusive, cohesive, and sustainable future as soon as possible in 2021. So they're trying to get literally everyone on board with their agenda here. So let's kind of look at some of the speakers that they have and some of the people that are pushing the Davos agenda. We have the president of the European Commission. We have the president of France, Emmanuel Macron. We have Angela Merkel, the federal chancellor of Germany. We have the prime minister of Singapore. We have Xi Jinping, president of China. Communist China is on board with this. We have the president of South Africa. We have the president of the European Central Bank. We have the secretary general of the UN. We have the director of the International Monetary Fund and the prime minister of India. And this is just a couple of people that are in on this Davos agenda. And this is exactly why you should be paying attention and why we should be paying attention to the World Economic Forum and the Davos agenda. So kind of let's look at their event highlights and really try to see kind of deep into what they really truly want, because they can write everything they want and it sounds good and great. Oh, we need to build a, you know, responsible planet, whatever. Let's kind of see and kind of dive deep straight into why they're pushing this by looking at some of the event highlights here. So what is a medication passport, and will you need one the next time you travel? So they're trying to get it into people's heads that you might need this specific medication to be able to go in different places, okay? At a 10-step plan to save our seas. Okay, that sounds great. How the Davos agenda in 2021 outlined a path for global cooperation. So they're trying to say that, hey, we are the good guys here. We are the ones trying to build cooperation. They're saying a medication race between nations can have no winners. They're saying, why collaboration is key to global reforestation efforts. Okay, that sounds great. All those things sound awesome. But you keep scrolling and things get a little bit morbid. And it gets really weird and kind of culty sounding. You know, can climate change action lead to better inclusion? Like, that doesn't really mean anything. Like, it sounds good, but it just kind of like, it's sort of like, you're watching a circus and the clown sort of turns into a monster. It's like that feeling. It's like, what are you talking about? What? Another one. Here's what happened when AI and humans met in a strawberry growing contest. So like, is AI better than humans? Is that like what they're kind of going for with that? That's kind of weird. Why it's time for international development to put people first. And it's just like, it's this kind of cloak that they're putting over themselves. It's like, yeah, we stand for the people. All we want is just the betterment of humanity. Look, guys, why it's time for international development to put people first. And it's like, okay, yeah, we get that. Okay, what's your real initiative here? Business growth is key to post, illness recovery. And it's like, yep, that's okay. The rise of generation restoration and youth, ecopreneurship. What Okay, none of this doesn't really give us a good clue. So, let's kind of go into really their actual agenda. And this is on CNBC. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is literally a one of the top things on the CNBC website, the Davos agenda here. So this is kind of the narratives that they're putting on, and they're putting this on here daily. They are updating this day by day. So let's look 4 hours ago here. With Ukraine, Russia tensions so high, staying silent is not a sensible option, Germany says. So, part of their agenda is to maybe say we can't stay silent on this Russian aggression against Ukraine. And I'm not saying that it's Russian aggression. They are. I'm just simply saying that this is what they're trying to push, this idea that Russia is aggressing. We have a chance to end the co you know the global sickness emergency in 2022. Interesting. Fauci says it's an open question whether Omicron spells the end game for the global sickness. Okay, so maybe they're saying that maybe this isn't going to be the end of it. China's Xi says countries must abandon Cold War mentality. Interesting, coming from communist China, the ones who that have been aggressing in countries around it for years and years now. Interesting. Obscene inequality, taxing the world's richest could save lives. Interesting. This is coming from the world's richest people, so that's really weird. WEF report warns of inequalities fueling social tensions across the globe. Okay. Let's scroll down a little bit more here and kind of read into the more and then Davos thing here. So we have Carrie Lam, obviously the leader of Hong Kong. She was put in there by the communist Chinese, and she's kind of on here always talking about things. We have the Australian Prime Minister talking about how they need to stand their ground against China, which is interesting because she is a part of the World Economic Forum. He's part of the Davos agenda. So they're kind of pitting them against each other. That's really interesting. Carrie Lam's in here again. You have, Thailand's finance minister is in here. You have, and then you just get to really weird articles like, what does this mean? What a difference a day can make. Robert Downey Jr. on why he likes Biden. Like, what does that have anything to do with your agenda here? It's really weird. Roaring 20s after the, situation. Big banks warned careful, warned be careful what you wish for. Putin warns against all, if fight for global tensions are not resolved, right? So now we have like this idea that Putin is saying that, like, watch out, it might cause a massive war if these tensions aren't resolved. And it's, there's not necessarily a sort of, it's not even like bipartisan. It's just so chaotic. This agenda doesn't really, make a lot of sense. And so let's kind of go into an interview and kind of see really what they really mean. So this is Mark Benioff, and he's kind of been, behind this whole World Economic Forum thing. He's been behind this Davos agenda for a while. So let's kind of see what's going on. We haven't really learned a lot here because it's hard to understand what they're saying and kind of what they're pushing. So hopefully maybe he can give us a little bit of an insight as to what's going on here. Let me turn on my desktop audio. Sorry about that.
Is dead. What do you mean?
Well, people have been asking me why am I wearing this black suit and black
You're in mourning?
Tie because I'm at a funeral for capitalism here in Davos, Sarah.
Okay, so they think that capitalism is dying, or at least the capitalism that we know. And this idea of capitalism versus communism isn't necessarily correct, and I don't think that's correct. I think it's more about centralization and decentralization of certain aspects within society, but when it comes to power structure, but capitalism, they have a problem with the type of capitalism that we currently live under, which that is true. However, what do they want to move it to?
What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, capitalism is
You know
dead.
you have a public company, right?
Well, you know that capitalism is dead, and we are introducing a new capitalism here, a stakeholder capitalism.
Okay, so stakeholder capitalism. That is something that we need to understand. Okay, so what is stakeholder versus a shareholder capitalism? So he talks about stakeholders, and that's kind of opposed with shareholder. So this is from Investopedia here. So what exactly is the difference here? So a shareholder can sell their stock and buy a different stock if they do not have a long-term need for the company. Stakeholders, however, are bound to the company for a longer term and for reasons of greater need, right? So basically, like a shareholder would be somebody who literally owns part of a company. A stakeholder, somebody who, you know, is an employee, owner, a bondholder, a customer, a supplier, and a vendor who uses that company for revenue. So a stakeholder is more, I guess, societal, like society kind of outlook on it. And shareholder is like, I literally own this. This is mine. Versus stakeholder is like, I use this product. I want this product to do good because I use it. I want to maybe make it cheaper. I want it to be better. That's what a stakeholder kind of is. And so that's what he's, is that what he's getting at? Is that really what he wants? Does he want stakeholder capitalism versus what we currently have as what he says, shareholder capitalism? So let's kind of see what he means by this.
Which is a more sustainable capitalism, a more equitable capitalism, a more fair, a more just capitalism. And it's not like the old capitalism, you know, is all about Milton Friedman. The business of business is money, money, money.
So he really kind of slams Milton Friedman here. And so I want to talk about this specifically because Milton Friedman back in the 70s was the world-renowned economist. And people were thinking that, okay, he solved economics. This is the end game. He was critical of Keynesian economics. And that's, you know, Keynesian economics is what led us into the mass stagflation of the late 1970s. And that's currently what's happening right now. We are in stagflation right now. And Milton Friedman was attributed to, you know, helping to solve the problem of mass stagflation by, you know, his idea was we need to raise interest rates, we need to get back on track. Keynesians would have never done that, but, he was basically the biggest opponent to Keynesian economics. And many people still, even if they're Keynesian, can't say that, you know, Milton Friedman was bad because many of his policies, many of his ideas still are championed today by many different people. And basically, he's kind of in this Chicago school of economics where, you know, the government shouldn't really be involving itself in the economy because the economy, you know, should be kind of divorced from the government in a way that, you know, there shouldn't be corruption and ties between, you know, certain power structures. Like, should a business have a relationship with somebody in the government? The idea is that that is bad and causes corruption and causes a lot of chaos within society. When you have big corporations like Google, Microsoft, Facebook getting in bed with politicians, that causes massive problems. And that was, you know, what kind of one of his main points as well. And he definitely challenged Keynesian economic theory in the way that government should not really be interested in what goes on in the market. That should be separate, and those ties should be cut so that there isn't any sort of a corruption going on. Corruption causes massive problems. And so let's continue on listening here.
And the new stakeholder capitalism is business is the greatest platform for change.
And I've heard that before.
You have heard it before.
So he says that business is the greatest, you know, opportunity for change. It's the greatest way we can make change rather than people sort of voting for the government and then the government sort of makes change in that way, or the markets do certain things that make changes where they, massive investment is given from people and into these companies and then those companies make changes. He is saying that, no, businesses should be the ones making the big change. Interesting.
You know, really, you've been out front on this issue, and
yes.
It seems like everybody else.
It's why I started my company 21 years ago.
I guess my question is, you know, traditionally Wall Street and analysts and investors reward share buybacks, cutting costs, layoffs, meeting guidance. I mean, these are all sort of short-term thinking. It goes against your long-term thinking. So how do you marry that and see this paradigm shift play out in the market?
Well, we went public in 2004. I think that's when I was first on CNBC. And since then, we've had a 4,000% return for our
interesting. So for his
shareholders,
shareholders, right? So for his shareholders, he has, you know, created a massive increase in value. And I wonder how he did this. So if you go back to the all-time chart, obviously, he said 2004, he went public. And they were worth about $4 a share at that point. Now they're worth $230. So the Federal Reserve basically was purchasing bonds in the market in the last 10 years, and they were sort of, you know, quantitative easing. And the reason why his stock went up is because the Federal Reserve influenced itself within the market. So this idea that the Davos agenda is sort of for, in what he said, that the government and businesses need to work together in this sort of corporate sort of overlord system, that, at least that's the way I see it, to where I wonder why he would want the government to work with businesses. Is it because maybe they increase the value of his stock, you know, by 4,000% or whatever he said it was? Maybe is it that the corporations should influence the government to do certain things that benefit certain corporations? Is that maybe why they're trying to push this agenda rather than for, you know, the sustainability of Earth and things like that? Is it mainly for, he says, stakeholders versus shareholders? So if, you know, people are, you know, in these corporations and then these corporations influence the government influences corporations, is it maybe easier for somebody like this guy to maybe influence certain policies, you know, that the Federal Reserve does to try and maybe buy back some of his stock and make him a very rich man? Is that maybe what they're going for instead of sustainability for, of the, you know, the Earth and sustainability of the, this, a new, you know, stakeholder capitalism? Maybe he's trying to fatten his bags by using this agenda.
They've done just fine. But we've also given away $300 million. That's part of our stakeholder return. We also made sure we're a net.
That's interesting. So he says that he has given away tons of money to charity. However, a lot of the money that he has made off of his stocks came from the Federal Reserve purchasing his company's stocks and, you know, in other stocks as well, in other markets. So he says that he has given away all of this money that he has made, but he made this money off of the back of the American people because they had to use, obviously, printed currency and inflated dollars to buy this stock. So basically, he was transferring wealth from the people through the Federal Reserve to him, and he gave away that money. So yeah, good on you, man. You stole all this money from a ton of different people, from all of the Americans and everyone in the world, and then you gave a little bit back. So that's fantastic. Thank you for that.
At zero company. Because the planet is a stakeholder. We also have adopted 170 public schools because our public schools are stakeholders. We make sure that we pay men and women equally for equal work because our female employees are stakeholders. So we have a...
That's another thing, too, where they always bring up these kind of old past, you know, economic arguments that women don't make as much as men because of this racist injustice in the system. And they use that kind of idea to try and push the idea that corporations should be working with the government to try and solve problems. When you have that sort of thing, you have the Iraq War. You have what's going on right now with the mandates. Do you think maybe military industrial companies, you know, complex companies, were maybe working with the government to try and get a war in the Middle East? It's very possible. Do you think maybe these pharmaceutical companies are influencing the government to try and get these mandates pushed, to try and get, you know, mandate medicine passports? I'm trying to kind of tiptoe around that idea because, you know, the company that I'm pushing this this video through, you know, doesn't like that idea so much that, you know, there's a medicine passport. You know, they don't want you really thinking about it, but I'm going to say it here because it's true. So do any of these pharmaceutical companies have a vested interest in making the government impose mandates? I don't know. This guy says, and he probably thinks that that is good because it is, that's stakeholder capitalism.
A great shareholder return, but we have a great stakeholder return, and that's how we marry them together.
Why do you think everybody else is coming around to it now? Do you think there's a sort of crisis of trust with business, or is it potentially a reaction to the fact that there's not leadership at the top, President Trump withdrawing from the Paris Climate Accord? What is it?
Well, I think everybody realizes that, you know, we're in a planetary emergency.
You know, it's interesting that they always try and bring up this sort of argument to where they always kind of talk about, you know, the great existential threats that are, you know, facing us right now. And they sort of lead into sort of an idea where, like, how can we fix this? How can we make it so that corporations work with the government to try and solve these problems? It's really interesting. Let's keep listening here.
And we need to make changes. And business is the greatest platform for change. And if you ask what the narrative has been here at Davos, there has been a tremendous narrative around what can we do to improve the state of the world. And you mentioned President Trump. You saw that.
So he wants businesses to kind of change the state of the world, kind of moving around governments and sort of not, because the whole idea of government is that you allow people away, generally democratic government, you allow people away to sort of change the world in their own vision, vote for people who have the same vision as themselves. And so now he is saying, no, corporations need to be the ones doing that. Well, you can't vote for a corporation. Corporations don't listen to what just the public says. They listen to what the public kind of wants and then, you know, makes things depending upon that. These corporations are not the government, but he seems to think that these corporations should be the government. It's really interesting.
That he has announced that he has joined 1T.org.
Trees.
1 trillion trees on the planet, which is a World Economic Forum initiative. And it's very exciting.
You're supporting it?
I'm supporting it. Also, the Chinese government also is supporting it.
Oh, fantastic. So you have the Chinese government backing the Davos agenda is what he is saying. That's really interesting. Why would the Chinese government want to push the Davos agenda on the world? What interest would they have in that? That is something that must be talked about. Why would the Chinese government want this when isn't China supposed to be sort of, all for their own nation? Well, maybe that's true. Maybe that's why they're pushing this Davos agenda. Are they trying to maybe make it so that these corporations and these other countries can sort of be a vector in which they can, manipulate other countries? Because if you make the corporations stronger than the people's power, you could just control the corporations much easier. And then the corporations control the society. So interesting he says that.
European government is supporting it.
So he says the European government is also supporting it. That's also pretty interesting.
President of Colombia, President Duque, announced that he is supporting it. And over 300 companies have come forward here in Davos to say they're going to participate. That's in the first 48 hours. And it's very exciting because 1 trillion trees will sequester 208 gigatons of carbon. So we used to have 6 trillion trees.
All right, so he kind of gets into the weeds here about, why we need to plant more trees and, all that. That sounds great, sounds fantastic. But you see how he's using climate change as a sort of vector to weasel his way in to the idea that, we need stakeholder capitalism instead of shareholder capitalism. And what we have right now, he says, is shareholder capitalism. That's extremely interesting because the idea that shareholder capitalism and stakeholder capitalism are somehow different goes against the idea that simply the world itself is not, devoid of separate aspects in the way that, if you take the economy of the U.S. and the government of the U.S., they overlap. Much of the government has to do with the economy, and much of the economy has to do with the government, right? After all, government's, spending makes up about 30% or so of the GDP. So they make each other up. It's about whether it is centralized or decentralized or not. Do we have large corporations controlling a lot of the market, or do we have smaller, companies controlling most of it? In the last 5 years, many small businesses have gone under. Amazon has completely taken over the entire retail market, almost 50% of it it's taken over, something like that. You have Google, Microsoft, Facebook, basically the largest tech companies in the world. If there is ever a competing tech company, they will just be bought out almost instantly or completely shoved to the ground and sued. So that's kind of what's happening right now. And as that happens, our government and the corporations become more included with one another to where Facebook, Amazon, Google, Microsoft, have people working for the government and the government has people working for them. And basically there's a symbiotic relationship in which if Facebook does better, many of the people working for the government do better and in reverse as well. So you have this kind of idea of we need to get rid of the shareholder capitalism in favor of what? In favor of stakeholder capitalism? The idea that this guy right here, Mark Benioff, the guy who was talking, right? He made tons of money off of the Federal Reserve, right? And this is a governmental entity, not necessarily that it's affiliated with the federal government, but it is a federal, it is a governmental entity. It controls our money supply. That is governance, right? Because after all, what is governance in the first place? That's another thing we have to ask ourselves about. Who do we want governing our society? This guy seems to think that, also companies should be the ones governing our society, not just the government, but companies as well. And so that's really what he is trying to not show you, what he is really trying to, and what Davos is trying to say, that we don't want companies controlling our society. And that's the kind of idea. We want, oh, it's for the people. It's for the good. It's for the betterment of the world. Do you really want to live under a society in which these companies control your government and you have no say in what goes on? That's kind of seeming like what he wants to push for, considering he's made tons of money off of the Federal Reserve buying his assets and saying somehow that now he wants stakeholder capitalism, not shareholder capitalism. This guy is literally the capitalist crony, like in those, you know, early 20th century, you know, writings, like this Marxist idea where, oh, this guy's got a big top hat and he's got a cane and a monocle and he's evil. He's, you know, he's a capitalist pig. This is literally that guy trying to say that his and other companies should be running the world. That's literally this guy. And he's trying to say that, no, it's for stakeholder cap. No, this guy is literally saying that governments and corporations should work together. That these corporations should be controlling aspects of the society. Do you want corporations to be running aspects of our society? The answer wholeheartedly should be no. It should be us, the people, controlling what goes on in society, not corporate entities, not cronies in the government. It should be us controlling the government that helps to change direction of society. It's not what this guy wants at all. And he's trying to use that idea of, oh, it's just better equity for all. No, you just want your company to be more powerful because it has the influence of the government behind it and you control the government. That's what you want. So what's happening with the Davos agenda is extremely interesting, and we will definitely follow this more in the future. Definitely make more videos about this. So if you guys like this video and want to expose more things like this, please like and subscribe down below. Hit the bell notification icon to get notified when more content like this comes out. And I will see you guys in the next one. Take care. Bye-bye.